It is another installment of Off the Crossbar, the podcast, the world famous podcast brought to you by IL Indoor and InsideTheCross.com. I'm your host, Teddy Jenner, and this is week two of the National Lacrosse League GM's discussion. We continue to work our way west. Last week it was Doug Locker of the Washington Stealth. Now, one of the newest general managers in the National Lacrosse League. He's got 2 years under his belt. Well, this is his second year under his belt. He is the general manager of the Calgary Roughnecks. He is Mike Board. How are you, Mike?
I'm very well, Teddy. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. I appreciate you doing this. First off, let's talk about this past weekend before we get into your background and where you've come from and your history with lacrosse. How special of a night was it for Caleb Toth and the Roughnecks organization this past weekend?
Well, you know, it was great. It was I was honored just to be part of it.
Yeah.
I think it was great. I think we put together a really kind of nice tribute for Caleb and all he's done for lacrosse in Alberta and the NLL and here in Calgary. So it was a pretty special evening. There was a lot of tears shed, I think, along the way, but I think it was a lot of fun.
What did you know of Caleb? Obviously, you know, being in that area and your involvement with Alberta lacrosse, what did you know of him before you actually got involved with the Roughnecks?
You know what I knew was that he was for sure the face of the franchise here.
Yeah.
Famous for his goal in Toronto, all those kind of things. So like anybody who'd follow lacrosse sort of knew that kind of thing. I think where I got to know Caleb a little bit was when I was in the media prior to doing various jobs ending up here. But, you know, I used to talk to Caleb a fair bit about, you know, the Roughnecks and lacrosse and do stories on it and those kind of things. So I kind of knew him a little bit as a person at that point. And then, once I got this job, I got to know him even better as a person. So, I knew him as a, I don't know what you might call him, the most famous Roughneck, I suppose. And then,
pretty much.
I got to know him on a personal level, which is a real treat.
And how would you describe him as a person?
You know what? He's one of the best. He's a, salt of the earth kind of guy that family guy, very tight with his own family and his young family, do anything for anybody. Just a real straight up, honest, really kind of a class act kind of guy.
Colin Doyle gave him a huge compliment, and he talked about this on the broadcast with Jason Greger on the TV broadcast. He talked about his involvement in Alberta lacrosse and how much he's meant. As a person who's been involved in Alberta lacrosse, what has he meant to it?
Do you know, I think because when the franchise first started, the people are like, oh, professional lacrosse, what's this about? That kind of a thing, years ago. I think what bringing Caleb back here from Toronto and having him represent the Roughnecks, I think it sort of spurned growth in the sport. And I think, I think it almost grew too quick. kids are going, hey, there's a local hero, and I want to do that. And, I think it kind of overwhelmed some of us that were running lacrosse. We sort of went, wow, all of our, registrations are spiking and those kind of things. So I think it was a real, like, it had a big effect, like a bell curve kind of an effect.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mike Board, the general manager of the Calgary Roughnecks here on the Off the Crossbar podcast, let's get into sort of your background. How long have you been in the lacrosse community? For those that don't know, you actually played some lacrosse.
I did. I was born in Peterborough, so I think you're born in Peterborough with a lacrosse stick in your hand, apparently. So, and really it was just shitty kind of stuff when I was growing up, like till I was five or six, I think. And then started playing a little organized lacrosse, moved to Brampton. I was Bramley at the time, but I ended up playing in Brampton, played a little bit of junior there, and then kind of moved on from there to go to university. I played up until junior and then moved out to Alberta after university. And I went to Ryerson for journalism, so came out here to start plying my trade and make a living and got married, got the kids into lacrosse, and, just kept things rolling, I guess.
How did that journalism career work out for you?
Actually, you know what? It was I did it for, I don't know, probably 12, 13 years, so maybe even longer.
What'd you do?
15. I worked up in Fort McMurray first, and then I worked at the Calgary Sun, and then I worked at the Calgary Herald, and ended up covering the Calgary Flames for the newspaper with a couple of other guys, and then eventually moved over to work with the Flames on their sort of team website and public relations a little bit, and had been in that kind of a role until they bought the Roughnecks, and I said, "Whoa, wait, who knows something about lacrosse here?" And I thought I'd jump in there and see what came of it, and here we are.
So you're a beat writer for the Flames?
I was a beat writer, yeah, for probably, I did the Stampeders too, but I think I did the Flames for about 5 years.
During the Stanley Cup runs of in the 80s?
You know what, I was there, I just was sort of a pop reporter in it, kind of on the periphery around 88, 89, yep. So saw the Cup run, which was fantastic, and then by the time they were back in it again there in 03, 04, I was with the team itself, so I saw, nice. Got to see those things from both sides.
And how did your time with the Flames prepare you for your role with the Roughnecks now?
You know, because it's that type of an organization, and working within it and getting to know the general managers and coaches and both at the Hitmen and the Calgary Flames level, yeah. You kind of get a really good feel because you're daily kind of interacting with these guys and you see how they act and see how they... You know, operate, I suppose. So that was kind of the learning curve. It's you're learning it almost by osmosis, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just spending time around them really helped.
Who's been the sort of the best influence for you since coming over?
You know, there's a couple of different GMs. I mean, Craig Button was there when I first started working for the Flames, and then Daryl Sutter. Two different styles, very different personalities and styles, and then. Of course, Jay Feaster is there now, so Jay and I kind of have a little bit of a relationship now. We kind of chat every once in a while, and he's been very helpful. He's got a great staff. Craig Conroy is there, and those kind of guys. So it's there's a lot of guys to be able to draw on if I ever have a problem or need some help.
Now we've seen it in the past with NLL teams sort of taking up space in NHL ranks and teams, you know, they kind of felt like they were on the back burner. And now that you guys are one big happy family, is there that sense now that the Roughnecks are maybe not on the same level as the Flames or even the Hitmen, but that they're part of that family now?
Yeah, I do. I really think we're part of the family. I mean, there's, there's so many, I guess I call them synergies, business synergies that allow us to, sell tickets, market the team, get our guys involved with some of the hockey guys and the charities and those kind of things. Like it's sort of a natural progression, and we don't have as many home dates or as the Flames or say the Hitmen, but we've got the backbone and the infrastructure is there for us to be able to utilize that, which I think has made it a pretty simple transition for us to get into the business.
And has it paid off for the Roughnecks?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're steadily seeing our crowds climb, and we're getting more, more media coverage and those kind of things. I mean, just the little things that come with that infrastructure. I mean, there's all kinds of Flame season ticket holders who say, "Hey, there's another team in the building. I better go check it out."
Yeah.
So there's that kind of a communication with them. There's a crossover with the Hitmen. It's just having that sort of organizational backbone behind you really, allows us to push forward with what we want to do.
Yeah, and we've seen that with the success of the Colorado Mammoth and the Buffalo Bandits. Now you guys are involved with the Flames, so we're starting to see a little more. The teams with the NHL involvement are having a little bit more success because they have that crossover. What do you think's the best part about the Roughnecks now being owned by the Flames?
I think it goes back to that whole that whole infrastructure. I think it's where previous owner Brad Bannister is a tenant in a building.
Yeah.
We're part of the building, so
yeah.
We want to say, hey, we want to do up this dressing room, or we need can we get the turf down a little bit earlier, or can we practice here tonight when there's nothing going on? Those
kind
of things are doable now, whereas you know, when Brad was running it as a tenant, you're not always, you don't have that flexibility, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's some advantages for us in that respect, just from, you know, lacrosse ops, you know. On the other side, there's like I said, the the ticketing concept where, you know, we've got some databases, we can market to people who have never seen the game before, you know, get them down there, and what we're finding is once they come, they come back, they love it. So, you know, that kind of exposure is it's really, can't put a price tag on it.
Yeah. Ken King was a part of the ceremony for Caleb Toth this weekend. Does he have much say? Is he involved at all? Is he taking an interest in the Calgary Roughnecks, or are you just kind of letting you run the whole show?
Well, I mean, he's got a lot to,
he does have a lot on his plate
because he's a football team
yeah,
too now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But we talk regularly, and you know, I make reports to the executive group, and you know, they pretty much know what we're doing. But you know, for the most part, they're pretty good. They you know, they don't interfere and say, hey, you got to make this trade or that trade, or you got to do this or that. We kind of, you know, we do that as a group, as a lacrosse group, and then present it to them, and you know, make sure they're in the loop for sure. You know, we've we haven't won too many at home this year, so Ken's like, are you guys going to win a home game soon, or you know?
Yeah.
So, but I have to say they've been great. They've been very supportive, and hopefully we get them some more home wins here.
Yeah, it didn't help when you have a big night like you had this weekend, then lose to your provincial rivals, the Edmonton Rush. But those wins will come. It's not worried about that. You had a big movement off the floor this past year, and releasing your ties with Dave Pym and promoting, let's call it, Kurt Miloski. How tough of a decision was that for you? Because that was really one of the biggest decisions you'd had to make in your young GM tenure.
Yeah, it was a tough one. And Dave and I, you know, I've been in Alberta, and I mean, we'd actually coached at the, you know, Bantam Nationals together and things like that. So, you know, we, as well as knowing him personally and as a coach, it was, that made it all that much tougher. You know, it was just a decision we felt we had to make and, you know, to move forward a little bit and get to the next level. Yeah, it was a tough one. It definitely wasn't easy. There was a lot of thought put into it and a lot of anguish too, I would have to suggest. But you know, you have to do it, and you hope you move on and hope that you make the right decisions.
Do you think you made the right decision?
Yeah, I do. I think you know, I mean, we're probably right now in a process where we're changing things around a little bit with Kurt and you know, putting a little bit of a different culture into things and I like what I see. I mean, Kurt's a great lacrosse mind, and you know, him and I work really, really well together, and we talk regularly and, you know, pretty much daily. And I think we're headed in the right direction.
It was a question I asked GM Doug Locker last week in the show. What is your sort of, what's your priority as a general manager? Is it, you know, making sure you have draft picks? Is it grooming guys? Is it making trades? Or is it just a conglomeration of everything on the table at once?
Do you know what? I'd have to go with the conglomeration.
Yeah.
And it depends where you are as an organization and you know, what you feel you need. And, you know, if there's a point where you feel you need more draft picks, then that's what you got to go get.
Yeah.
It's a tough league to deal in, though. I mean, you know, everybody wants to draft Mark Matthews, for example, right? So getting draft picks is not easy. You got to give up, you know, you got to give up a lot to get a first round pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you weigh that all the time? Do you give up a solid player right now and get that first round draft pick, or do you stick with it and you know, hopefully, you know, you've got a high enough pick that you have some time with your vets to groom guys and that kind of a thing. So, you know, I guess each case is each trade that you consider is probably considered on its own merits, you know, and you have to figure out, is it going to help you, or, you know, does it help you now? Does it help you down the road?
Yeah.
You know, I think our overall goal and, you know, the coaches and I talk about this a lot is to be a solid team every year with a chance to win. So you don't want to sell the farm and you don't want to give up all those draft picks because you want to keep that future going.
Your two oldest guys, I think, are Jeff Snyder and Andrew McBride, probably the two guys been with your club the longest as well. But this young core of your team. You guys have really built a stable that will last you guys for a few years now that's great to build around.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't take all the credit for that because previous ownership, you know, Brad Bannister put a lot of those pieces in place. Like when I talked to Brad before as the negotiations were going on, and him and I sat down and went over the roster, and we sort of said, hey, this team's good for, you know, 5 to 8 years right now, you know, even without making a change. So, you know, we just looked to try and continue what Brad had really laid a foundation for. So, you know, we're pretty happy with what we've got right now.
You had a fantastic draft, and all the kids that you did draft are already making an impact. That's got to feel good as a GM.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've got, you know, even from last year, you know, with with Travis Cornwall, I mean, we picked up Sean Evans in that one too, but we like what our young kids are going to do. And I think one of the things that we feel is that we don't have to put them right into the fire because we've got, you know, a good core group that can sort of nurture them and bring them along. And in a natural progression, these guys will fill in on the roles that eventually get vacated.
We're pretty
happy.
Yeah, I'm just on your website right now, and the poll question that's up there is, who's your first half MVP for the Roughnecks? And the options are Curtis Dixon, Sean Evans, Mike Poulin, Dane Doby, and other. If you had to be impartial, who would you say has been your first half MVP?
You know, I think Sean Evans is probably, I think he's having a breakout year. I think there was some adjustment for him last year with our team, and I just see him sort of night in, night out, being the warrior that wants to put the team on his shoulders and you know, rally the troops and get us a win. So I think I'd probably have to go with Sean Evans at this point.
The Roughnecks are in a very tight Western Conference. How do you feel the compete level is with 5 teams in one conference and 4 in the other?
Wow, that's I think it's league wide to be honest. Like, yeah. I think it's on any given Saturday someone can beat you.
Yeah.
I think everybody's realizing that. I mean, I look at Rochester, who, you know, won the championship last year, and they kind of struggled out of the gates, and it's really, you know, if you don't bring your A game each time, and like you say, that compete level each game, you're going to run into trouble.
Yeah.
It's that tight. It's, you know, 1-2 goal games. You know, there's overtime games. I just think it's so, you know, I don't think there's any, you can't sort of have a, hey, this is a guaranteed win night in this league.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
So you're not going to do that promotion anytime soon?
No. I get asked that all the time. Are you going to have a guaranteed win night? I go, not as long as I'm GM.
Now that you are GM, do you have constant contact with all the other GMs throughout the league? Or is, you know, do you have like a weekly rotation of calls that you make, seeing what's available and what's out there and what other teams are thinking and doing?
Yeah, I think we, you know, on a real regular basis, contact a lot of teams. I mean, you watch the transaction wires and those kind of things all the time. You're constantly looking to say, that guy there would fit nicely into our systems or those kind of things. And you make those calls just to see what everybody's thinking, you know? So, you know, we kind of, Kurt does a bunch of that too. So Kurt Malofsky. So between the two of us, we kind of cover the league probably, I'd say every couple of weeks we've talked to, just about everybody in the league.
Has there been a guy that's just impressed you where you're just like, wow, I really wish he was a Roughneck?
Yeah, there's been a few. I mean, I look at John Grant Jr. every time we play and go, man, can this guy play?
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody says the same thing.
That's
but,
true.
You know what? We see a lot of Edmonton. We've seen them 3 times already this year. You know what, I got to say that I think this kid's going to be a star in the league for a long time. I mean, he's a rookie right now, scoring the kind of goals you expect to see, you know, a veteran scoring. He's got a lot of poise out there, so he's one of those guys. I suppose there's a number of other guys. I mean, you love Garrett Billings and Stefan LeBlanc out of Toronto. It seems like everybody's got a couple of guys that you just love to have, but it's pretty hard to stack it all up and get everybody on that one team.
That's very true. Couple more questions here before we let you go. A lot of teams and a lot of people on the outside looking in look at stats and they see that Calgary is the most penalized team. As a general manager, does that concern you?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, I mean, it's I really don't mind if they're penalties where we're playing hard and we're playing an aggressive defense, or you know, we take those kind of penalties. Those ones I'm not as concerned about. It's more the, you know, the dead ball fouls and the penalties that happen in between the whistles, I suppose, more than anything else. You know, play hard between the whistles and then leave it alone. So that's one of the things that we've been addressing over the last couple of weeks, and I think we've gotten a lot better at it. So, you know, it's hard to win games if you're shorthanded. So it's always a concern.
And do you have much say in the game to game roster, or do you leave that up to Kurt and his staff?
I pretty much leave that to the coaching staff. Yeah. You know, they have a plan in place to to, you know, get everybody the floor time. Get our draft picks and our rookies and our, you know, our younger kids some floor time. So, you know, I don't walk in there and say, hey, we got to play this guy tonight.
Those guys
know what you're doing, and I think it's important as a GM to sort of have surround yourself with people you trust and have their faith and let them do their jobs. Don't interfere with them. I just don't think that works. So you know, they'll let me know and say, hey, this is what we're going to do this week. And I, you know, most of the time I say, hey, that's a great idea. So, you know, we let them run with it.
The National Lacrosse League trade deadline is in just over a month's time. Do you guys foresee any movement being made? Or are you in a position as a GM that says, if and only if the right piece is available, will we do something?
You know what? I think we'll, we'll listen to everybody.
Yeah.
But I think you're more online with, you know, if it's the absolute right piece and it's going to help us short term and long term, we'll be looking at those kind of moves, right? We don't want to put a panic button in there, or you know, and do something just because we want to make a trade, because we do have a lot of faith in the players that we've got. So we want to be sure we make the right decision, but we'll listen and we will evaluate any offers or those kind of things. And if the right piece to the puzzle comes up, we'll be active.
One last question for you. If you're Commissioner George Daniel, what's one thing you would change about the National Lacrosse League?
What would I change? Geez, you know, I'd like to see some teams in some more NHL buildings. Haven't been a part of that. You know, I'd like to see, you know, can we get a team, get the Montreal Canadiens to get a team, or the Winnipeg Jets, or
the Vancouver,
or something
Canucks
along those lines. I think that's a, you know, it might be a great model, because we've seen it. It works in Colorado, and it's starting to work here in Calgary, and it works in Buffalo. That, you know, maybe we can expand the league that way and get more players involved, and get more players playing the game and grow it in those cities too.
Mike, this has been a fantastic chat. It's always nice to hear from the fresh blood and not just the rookies in the National Lacrosse League. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Congratulations on all your success with the Roughnecks, and here's to better days ahead too.
All right. Thanks very much, Teddy. Anytime.
Mike Boer, general manager of the Calgary Roughnecks. As we talked about, he's a former Peterborough Laker, Brampton Excelsior, junior player, minor lacrosse. So, you know, when he was hired, a lot of people were like, well, who's this Mike Boer guy? No one's ever heard of. Well, Calgary Flames actually had a person in place that was possibly the exact person to take this job. And so far, he's done a pretty decent job. Last year, they were 12-4. Got knocked out of the playoffs by Edmonton, but, you know, they made changes that they need to make, and they're moving forward. They're one of the top teams in the league this year, and they continue to be competitive on and off the floor. Mike Boer, it was a really good chat. I like picking people's brains. If you want to know who's going to be next, I believe it's going to be Derek Keenan. We're going to go up the number 2 highway to Mike's rival, the Edmonton Rush, and we'll talk to Derek Keenan. He's the head coach and general manager of the Edmonton Rush. So if you have a question that you would like me to ask Derek Keenan, drop me an email, otcb@teamradio.ca. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com /offthecrossbar, or go to the NLL forums, and there's a GM Talks thread in the aisle indoor section, and post your questions there. Post your questions for any of the GMs. We're going all across the league, and this is just week two. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the games this week, and the National Lacrosse League is continuing to surprise, and it's getting tighter and tighter. And it's going to be even better this weekend. So thanks for tuning in to the Off the Crossbar podcast. Don't forget, it's not just here on islander.com and insidelacrosse.com. It's also available on iTunes. So check it out. Load us up. Download us. Get the app. Do it. We'll talk to you next week. Remember, be excellent to each other.